Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know that your health insurance could cover appointments with a registered dietitian? Nourish will match you with a dietitian for personalized nutrition advice. And since Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans like Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, and United, 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online from home, plus message them anytime on the Nourish app for support on the go. With hundreds of five-star reviews, you can count on Nourish to guide you on your health journey. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
But joining us right now is Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Thanks for joining us this morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Coach, we were talking about this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, you have a back-to-back game. You faced the Bruins last night. You get the win. Congrats on that. Then you have to hop on a charter, fly down to Raleigh. I mean, a compressed day. You have today's game day again. You could have easily said to your PR people, like, "Hey, you know what? Let's push the Jets to a different day or later in the day." You're like, "No, I'm going to get this done at 7:00."
What time did you walk into your hotel room?
I think we got in around 1:40.
Ooh.
So you got to bed, call 2:15, 2:30?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yep.
All right, are you going to go back to bed after you hang up the phone?
No.
I don't know how you do it, man.
Let me ask you this, Coach. Now, I know that players, especially on game days, they treasure their naps. Some local DJs that you may be talking to, they're big on naps too, okay? Do coaches, you know, do you and your coaching staff, do you ever get time to sneak in just a quickie on game day, or is it all, it's all business?
Yeah. No, game day, absolutely naps. There is time for that after pregame skate, lunch, and before we have to be back at the rink. So depending on the day, some coaches will take little naps, some won't. I'm usually hit or miss. I'm probably, I would say, 50-50. If I know that, like, we have a back-to-back or we have a practice the next day, I'll try to get some work done after the game. So I try to get a little bit of a nap that day so that I'm not completely gassed and can't really pay attention to the film after the game. So some days I'd say I'm 50-50.
Okay, very good.
Who sleeps on the plane?
Everybody.
So a lot of the players do. Like, if we're traveling, not after games, they would be more, you know, like when we're traveling at 1:00 or after practice and heading to a city. Some of the coaches get into. I can actually sleep. After games, I get really tired, so I'm usually good for about an hour on the plane, and after that, I start to doze off.
Hey, we saw the scene where Ovi was at a local bar with Ryan Leonard. You cool with that?
Oh, yeah. That's they're just taking Leno for dinner, and all of our guys, they do an amazing job of that, of making sure that they make a point to welcome him in with open arms and spend some time with him, get to know him, start to create those relationships, making him feel at home. So going out for dinner and that, and experiencing Boston College. I think they were on, I don't know this for sure, but I think they were on the Boston College campus there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, I got no issue with that. It's the same, like this, you know, people ask about our team and the togetherness and the depth and all the things that the guys that are having great seasons that are just new to the team, Chicky, Logan Thompson, just go down the list, Doobie, like, and that's, I think there's something to that. When players feel comfortable in an environment, whether it's from the coaches or the leadership group, you can put a lot of things in your mind at ease and just play and feel really good about yourself and your standing inside of a team. And that's, I think, an important part of having individual success or playing at your highest level. And our leadership group does an amazing job of that.
Carbs, talk about Leonard a little bit for those of us that are, you know, I'm not locked in on college hockey. I didn't know this guy was such a stud. I know you drafted him a couple years ago.
Stud.
Like eighth, whatever. How unusual is it for a kid to just get eliminated from the tournament and go right in, be a top six guy for you? I mean, what an ad if he actually is the player that everybody thinks he is. He certainly looked like it in his debut last night. How rare, could you put this in context for us? Like how much you've been looking forward to this? How rare this is? Because to me, it just seems like, oh my God, what an ad. Like, you're taking a kid right out of college. You have so much respect for him. You're starting right away top six guy. I mean, this is an unbelievable ad for your playoff push.
Yeah, and so I'll try to be as quick with this as possible because you're right. It's a unique situation. It's like, what? How does this happen in the sport? So Ryan Leonard, we picked, I believe, eighth overall, right?
Yeah, right. That's right, 2023.
Okay, so after we took him, eighth overall, you know, you have high hopes. That following year, he had an incredible year. So automatically, he starts to get on the radar of like, wow, what a great selection by the Washington Capitals. This guy looks like he's going to be a star. This year, he even doubled down on that and was playing at an even higher level. So right away, you have people that evaluate prospects that are not in the NHL, whether it's in college, major, junior, in Europe, and they're going, this young man looks like he's going to be a star. So he's playing well outside. And some people said he's the best player not playing in the NHL. So that would be college, major, junior in Canada, and then in Europe.
Wow.
So when his season ends and he decides to turn pro and sign, him coming into our team, it's amazing for the organization and for the future of the organization. Now, I will say this. He is still a very, very young man.
Right.
So to think the NHL is, it's not like the NBA where, you know, you can step in and sort of be a, it's closer to that than baseball, but there still is some development needed in your first couple years to really get a grasp on the league and to feel comfortable and you're playing against, you know, grown men. So he's going to play. You can see the potential already in one game. Mm-hmm. He's a hockey player. He competes. He's physical. He can shoot it. He's got all these tools. But we don't expect him to come in here and save the world and all of a sudden, you know, have to carry us through.
No,
through,
but it's a great ad. Have you had your Carbs? Have you had an opportunity to have your hands on him at all since you drafted him, or you had to wait until he signed? Like, have you been in a rink with him? Have you been able to work with him?
Yeah. So that's another unique thing about our sport is the major, junior, and I won't get crazy into this, but major, mm-hmm. junior players are allowed to come to our training camp and allowed to play in exhibition games. So I'll give you a comparison, but college players are not allowed.
Okay.
So Ryan Leonard's been to our development camps. That's a summer camp that you have in July. Okay. There's no NHL players there. It's just all your young prospects. And you have 4 days of on-ice, off-ice stuff in the middle of the summer. The major junior guys, so for example, Little Pro, Protoss's little brother, he was able to come to our actual training camp.
Okay.
He played in NHL exhibition games. He was there, you know, learning our system, in our meetings, on the ice with Alex Ovechkin, you know, for a week and a half. So it's just Lenny never has experienced that in the 2 years since being drafted. So it's a little bit unique for him, having not participated in any of those main camps, but he has been in, like I said, those two development camps.
Gotcha.
We're joined by Caps head coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. So there was a big-time brawl last night between Big Mac for the Caps and Jeffrey Veal. That was McElrath's first action with the Caps since 2 days before Christmas. So it got me to thinking. I was like, I got to go look up Coach Carbs' record on hockeyfights.com. I have to see what sort of scraps Coach Carbs was in. So I did. No. Of course I did that. And you had three fights listed. Now, two of those fights had no videos accompanied, but one of them did. Now, you were getting after it in February of 2010, Coach Carbs. You had three fights. The one that there was video of was with Chris Morehouse of the Cincinnati Cyclones, and you definitely got the better of him. I mean, you took care of business.
Do you remember Chris Morehouse?
You guys did a deep dive. That's impressive.
Of course. That's what we do.
Thankfully, they've gotten rid. There's been a few years. I don't know if I told you guys this, but for a while there in the minors, I was scrapping to hang on and keep a job. So there's a few seasons. I think I was like, I had 25 majors in the 1 year, maybe even 30 the following year, and having to take on some big boys that were outside of my weight class. But I had to, that was part of my role as a player and tried to stick up for teammates and change momentum when I could.
Yeah, so, like, how would you have, like, in your prime, how would you have fared against McElrath, who goes, like, I think he's listed, like, 6'5", like, 235 or 240.
Yeah, I had to take on a few of those guys,
yeah,
and that is not fun. Like, I have so much respect for guys because I've lived it to a, you know, a very, very smaller degree, but and for me as a smaller guy, that's like when you're looking at, I remember a couple guys. There was some, Justin Johnson was one of them. He was a tough, tough guy. And you'd know you're playing against him that night and you couldn't nap and sleep and that you're like, I know what's coming tonight.
Yeah.
But Mac is, he's such a warrior unbelievable teammate. Worked so hard every day. He did the read yesterday and just put it so eloquently and perfect about how much he loved being a part of this team and was excited to go out and battle with the guys again after, you know, having a little bit of time off from that.
Carbs, this might be a great question. If it is, it's mine. If it's a dumb question, it's my producer's. but now that Ovi's getting real close, needs four in eight games, and he scored last night, are you guys designing plays specifically to get him more shots, or is it still just the same offense you guys run every game?
Good. No, that's a good question.
Yeah, it was mine. Thank you.
Question.
Thank you.
My question.
It's a good question. No, we are not, but we definitely are in constant communication as a staff and with our guys about being mindful of not forcing it. And what I mean by that is because it's getting so close and now we're at a spot where, you know, I felt like you could really feel it the last couple weeks as it got into single digits and now we're at a point where it's not out of the realm for him to do this in one game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. With what he's done it before. Is it likely? Absolutely not. But it's not outside of the realm for him to score four times in a hockey game.
Mm.
So we just need to be careful, and guys need to play and let his opportunities and opportunities to get him the puck come organically and not force that, because that's when you make poor decisions and now all of a sudden you're putting us in a tough spot as a team and now he's being put in a tough spot because we're turning the puck over because we forced it to him, or he's shooting something where, you know, he's just trying to get something in the net and there's three guys in his lane and now it gets blocked and now it's transitioning the other way. So we are cognizant of, you know, we want to do this. He'll get his opportunities. If we play the right way and play to our identity, he's going to get scoring chances. And I'll bet dollars to donuts that he finishes on some of those.
Real quick, because we talked to you about this, you said at some point you were going to have a talk with him about the empty netters, or you're going to have a plan. Have you had that discussion with Ovi yet?
I have not, no.
You got to wait until it gets like tied, I think, right?
He just said he could score 4 in 1 night.
He could. It could happen tonight. It could.
He honestly could.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a big production out of that. I'll just talk to him quietly. Like, I know how he feels, and I know what he thinks from having conversations with him before. I don't think that's going to be
it's not going to be a sticking point.
It's going to be a 10-second. Like, absolutely. I want to shoot it in the back of the net when there's a goaltender in there to break this record.
Hey, Coach Carbs, is there a little bit of a feeling in the back of your brain that you're heading into the Lions' den tonight? Second of a back-to-back. Carolina team has been home for a week now, and they've had 2 full days of rest. Meanwhile, you guys are staggering to your hotel rooms at like 1:45 in the morning.
You just teed up the meeting. You want to do the team meeting this morning?
Sure, man. I'll do it. Get me in there. I'll give the gold chain out at the end of the game.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This scenario, for whatever reason, over the last 2 years, we've been in this scenario 4 times against Carolina. Just the way the schedule makers have made it. They've been rested. We've come here on a back-to-back travel. And you're right. It is the Lions' Den. It's a tough place to play just on your best of days and to play them on a back-to-back with their style of play. So I'm hopeful that, you know, with some fresh bodies, we'll probably try to inject some of those fresh legs into our lineup, the mindset of coming off of last night with a team that's, you know, right in our division. We know them well. Hopefully we can be ready to counterpunch tonight, not back on our heels in their building, because, you know, we know exactly what to expect from them and how difficult an environment it is to play in down here.
Do you know off the top of your head your record in that scenario that you set up?
Okay. I'm going to say we're 1-2.
Okay. Get 1 out of 3. I mean,
yeah. And the one last year, Kemp's played and we were right there. There was like a not so great call late in the game. The game was tied and they end up scoring on it to win the game. But I look more at like, how did those games look? And, We were under attack. We were under attack in those games. So we needed phenomenal goalie performances to keep us in those games. And, you know, that you're going to need that at certain points, but would like for us to be able to control some play tonight and not just be back on our heels. Like, they come at you with wave after wave, but if we can sort of counter that a little bit and be on their half and control play and gather some momentum, that's what we're looking to do.
All right, that's Coach Spencer Carberry. We'll talk to you next week. Best of luck tonight.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Coach Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFA Ortho.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
.com.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Listening to B. Mitch and Finley, we are fired up to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. Most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. And talk to our friend, Mr. Al Koken. Smoke, where are you at? Are you in North Carolina, Boston? Where are you, sir?
Beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina, awaiting Raleigh. Capitals Hurricanes tonight on Monumental Sports Network.
Okay, got
it. Be careful going outside. There's a lot of pollen down there.
I'm feeling it, B. Trust me, I'm feeling it.
I was down there all weekend, bro. Ooh, Lord.
Ooh. What'd you shoot?
I was actually visiting the grandbaby, but I did shoot an 81 and a 79.
Played
Thank
twice.
You very much.
Yeah,
I didn't know you played twice on this visit to North Carolina to see family.
Yeah.
Where's Grandpa? Oh, he's on the 18 right now, honey. He'll be right there.
Grandpa left early.
One of my favorite restaurants in the world is the Angus Barn there in Raleigh. If you're looking for a steak, although I imagine what time you get in super late last night.
Yeah, we got to the hotel a little after 1 o'clock, probably about more like 1:30. So yeah, so it's gonna be a tough game tonight for this team. I think the Hurricanes haven't played in 3 or 4 days. Capitals obviously last night in Boston. So this is gonna be one of those tough nights. This is one of those nights where I think sometimes it's more psychological, right, Brian? When you're these quick turnarounds,
yep.
Sometimes it's more psychological than it is physical. It wasn't an overly physical game last night, but they did have to exert themselves after a lousy second period to get the 2 points last night in Boston.
Well, and the Hurricanes are second in the division. Now, they're not going to catch the Caps, but they have been playing really well in kind of the last month, second
half,
and coming in hot. They've won two in a row. They're going to be fired up to get that is a difficult little spot tonight for Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I read correctly, excuse me, the Hurricanes are 8-2 in their last 10. And to your point, they've had a little winning streak going. Caps 6-3-1 in their last 10. So Caps are kind of in a little bit of a lull in some regards, JP. I mean, it's tough to argue with what they're doing. I mean, they're sitting there with 105 points. It's amazing to watch them, rack up these numbers. And yet, Spencer Carberry has been kind of saying in his post-game press conferences, we've got to play better. We've got to play a more complete game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking with our friend Al Koken here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Of course, you can follow Al at Real Smokin' Al or watch all of his coverage on Monumental Sports Network with the Caps games. All right, Smoke, how cool was the scene last night for Ryan Leonard's debut? I mean, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. That was fantastic. I mean, he had his entire Boston College hockey team there. Parents, family members were there. It was really great. And you could tell the kid was having a great, great time. If you had to pick a spot to make an away debut,
yeah,
that was going to be it. And he was a little more comfortable in that building as well. He said I think during his college days had played, eight different times. We've been to college and some other events, 8 different times in that building. So there was a familiarity, but obviously having all the people that were close to him and have rooted him on, it was a special moment. And I thought he did a solid job. I know there were a couple, there was one moment where he created a turnover and I could just, the expression on his face and he's heading to the bench, he smacked the side of his leg with a stick and how angry he was at himself. But then again, he was instrumental in the play that led to the Dylan Strom goal that got the Capitals ahead in that third period, and got good reviews from his coach, got good reviews from Dylan Strom afterwards. So it's going to be interesting to see how they progress with Ryan. Now, I don't know if they go with him again tonight, because not only is it going to be a back-to-back situation in the pros, but remember, he played in the NCAA tournament, a very emotional game with his Boston College team on Sunday. So I don't know if you really want to ask this kid to play three games in four nights to start his NHL career, but it's going to be interesting to see how they use him moving forward, even if they don't play him tonight. And one of the other things, guys, that I was interested to see where they would put him. You know, there was a lot of conversation, you know, having with our colleagues, Joe B. Locker, Johnny Walton, Kenny Sabrin, guys like that. But, you know, do you just ease him in on the third line? Well, Spencer Carberry said, no, we're not easing anybody in. He's up there with one of our top centers and Dylan Strom and a top winger and Alexi Protas. And he got a regular shift. It wasn't like they were hiding him here, hiding him there. And I think that says a lot about what they think Ryan Leonard can hopefully provide for this team down the stretch and into the postseason.
What kind of game you think he has, Al?
Well,
speed game, power game?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He likes to play physical, and he's, you know, a solid 200 pounds, but he's not, you know, he's not overwhelmingly large like a Tom Wilson, who can play that power game, that run through you type of game. The thing that impressed me the most, Brian, is that any time there was a play where the Capitals had a little zone time, a little cycle time, anytime that puck, as you saw on the on the Dylan Strom goal, when it went low to high, you know, he was one of those guys. Now, Strom got there to the net as well, but he was one of those guys that immediately made a blue line to the beat, blue paint. And I can't tell you how frustrated the Capitals coaching staff has been lately on how few of those goals they've scored. I had mentioned that to Dylan Strom in my postgame interview with him about how, you know, the coaching staff has been begging you guys to get in the blue paint more. And Dylan Strom certainly did it on that goal. But anytime there was a situation where there was a shot possibly coming in from the point, if you looked up, you saw number nine trying to battle his way to the front of the net against, you know, ostensibly bigger, stronger men, so to speak. And that to me was something that I was really, really pleased to see. He didn't shy away from getting to the front of the net where you take the most abuse.
Obviously, I thought he was impressive. I thought, Smoke, you've seen a billion hockey fights, but that fight last night.
Yes.
I mean, dude, it seemed like they went at it for like 6 minutes. And
there were, JP, there were about three different times I kept thinking, okay, the Lions better get jumped in, right?
Right.
And they just let him go.
Right. I mean, what does that do for a team just to see that kind of, I mean, fisticuffs this late in the year? And clearly those two dudes must have some history together. Just what, I mean, you've seen hundreds of hockey fights. That one was up there with one of the best.
Well, and I'll tell you what else added to it is the fact that Dylan McIlrath, who I was so happy. I mean, listen, it was unbelievable by the organization to get the Jacob Chychrun contract done, to get the Logan Thompson contract done, to get the Charlie Lindgren contract done. Great for all of those guys. But I can tell you there were so many guys who were happier that they got the extension, the two-year extension to Dylan McIlrath done because of what a great soldier he is. Now, think about this. Guy hasn't played since December 23rd. Ironically, in Boston against Boston, and that night, they only played, I think, like a minute, 23 seconds. So think about all the practices, all the after-practice skates, all the morning skates where everybody else is rushing to the locker room to get to the bus, and he and Alexiev and Ethan Frank, the Xers, are out there doing hard work. And he never complains. Always a great guy. Always an upbeat personality. So for that guy, then, in his first game since December 23rd to get in there and do that for his team, that had a little extra weight to it. Not just a fight, but it was who was doing it under the circumstances.
Absolutely. And then I couldn't help but notice that, for me, like watching that fight, but more than that, hearing Locker call it. And he was just so great. He's like, oh, what about this is? And I can't do his accent, but
how
great is it for you? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. You've been working with Craig and Joe and Alan, everybody. You guys have such a great crew. You've been doing it forever. But how great is it to have Locker back?
It's terrific. I mean, listen, he's the first guy that gives you a shot, and he's the first guy that laughs the hardest when you give it back to him. You know that about him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can, I texted him when they gave us the heart pins that we would wear in our lapel with a number 18 on it.
Yeah.
And I texted him, took a picture of him, texted him immediately and said, man, how cool is this that they're honoring Matt Pettinger tonight? You know, and of course he was also wearing, and of course, you know, I got the biggest laugh response from him. So it's just great to have that personality. And I mean, does it sound like he's missed a beat from the drop of the puck the other night? Boom, it's locker again. No easing back into it. No, okay, well, you can understand why, you know, I may be a little, you know, slow off the trigger. No, it's 100% Craig Lochlin, what we've heard and loved for, you know, for nearly 30 years now with Joe B. And it's just remarkable what he's gone through. And you bring that spirit back. Listen, Alan May did a terrific job filling in for him, and everybody loved what Alan brought, and everybody loved having Alan around. But there's only one locker, and I think you could really see it, you know, for those folks who were in Capital One Arena when they, you know, did a tribute to him. And I looked down at the bench immediately. Everybody was on their feet, banging their sticks against the wall. I saw constantly as he was there coming back into the game at Capital One the other day, all the guys stopping to say hello to him, the guys that didn't get a chance to see him, making an effort then while we were on the road here, you know, waiting for the bus and everything to come up and say hi to him. It's just been great to have him back, but it's also great to see what he's meant to so many people.
Totally.
Dude, I well said there. Alan really was great, but Joby and Locker are Joby and Locker. It's an institution.
Yeah.
All right, the Caps topic we have not discussed yet, Alex Ovechkin. And the Gretzky chase.
Oh, what's going on there?
I think he's getting close to this this kind of big run.
I think it happens.
I wanted to start. Were you at the bar with them in Boston?
No, I didn't get that text. Apparently, I guess Ryan Leonard did, but doesn't that kind of give you a little indication of the big picture about this guy?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're focusing on the skill that he's had for his 20 years here. But that, to me, also tells you about the guy, not just the captain, but the person. You know, a captain can say, hey, congratulations, kid. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. What a better person does is reach out to the kid and make sure he's embraced immediately to the team.
Hey, come hang out with a few of us.
Right. And who was having more fun at the bar than Alex?
Right. I think Obi. That's just so cool. All right, so Ovi gets one yesterday.
Yep.
He needs 4-8 left. I think he's getting there. What do you think happens? When and where?
Well, I mean, I think a lot goes into what happens tonight. Listen, at home against Chicago, you know he's going to be absolutely revved up if he's just within, say, 3. If he gets one tonight, if he's within 3, a Blackhawk team that is, you know, struggling to say the least, you know he's going to want to try and get it done at home. Again, we're talking about almost an impossible task when you just use hockey logic, right?
Yeah.
Name me one person other than Alex Ovechkin that you would actually say, well, you know what? He could get 4 in the next 2 games. Right, you know, there's a couple of guys you could say could, but there's a lot of people that you'd never say should be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're going here with, you know, you got to throw out hockey logic and talk about Ovi because he defies logic. And so that's what's going to be interesting to me. I think a lot of this, JP, is going to hinge on, can he get one tonight? Because then he's going to rev up the Jets for Chicago. And by the way, we should tell everybody, the circus really begins tonight. You got Gary Bettman is supposed to come in tonight.
So
said he's going to start following. He's going to follow Ovi.
He might get 4-1 night.
Tonight. And if he gets to within 3, that's when number 99 starts to trail. And then we've heard that Nick Baxton wants to be a part of it. TJ Oshie wants to be. So what we've seen now traveling with the team, there's been extra video photographers traveling, documenting his every move. There's been from Sportsnet in Canada at every game. Now we're really going to see the circus if he gets to within 3.
You know, Al, I look at it, like JP asked me this earlier. Would I want to see him do it at home? I'm like, yeah, but this is something that if it happens wherever, it's still going to be big. You know, and like you said, they got the videographers and stuff following them to make sure they can have it documented. Look, if it was me, I want to do it in front of somebody else's fans to piss them off.
Well, but that also is going to be interesting to see how the other fans react to. Remember, listen, I don't think it's going to get to the last day, but remember, you still got a game in Pittsburgh on the last day. You still got two games up on against the Islanders. You know, you've got some buildings where the Capitals aren't very warmly received, shall we say. But I do think because the league, and properly so, and credit to the league, they've made sure this is just a Washington story. You go to NHL.com, and boom, the Ovechkin chase is front page every day, NHL Network, NHL Network Radio. They're covering it. They're going to bring their own people now, which is why I've said it's going to even add more to the circus. But the credit goes to the NHL for recognizing this and for how they are appreciating this, and how I think a lot of this also has to do with the way Wayne is approaching this. He's been open arms this whole time. He can't wait, he says, for to be there when he breaks the record. This is not the Miami Dolphins acting like I don't want anybody to ever break. You know, there's a bitterness there, right? You know, this is everybody involved embracing Ovi.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Records are made to be broken.
Smoke, just for your personal calendar, when he gets within three is also when I am required to start traveling to all these games. So maybe, you know, next time Ovi and the boys are all going out, I'll just meet you there.
That's great. And you'll be picking up the tab at the steakhouse?
Yeah, the way he will be. He said he wants to start doing that more now.
Depends if I have B. Mitch's card or not.
Oh,
why my card? Yeah, I mean, he worked for NBC, Addict, don't you?
The and Monumental American Express with B carries.
Yeah, that B got rid of his platinum Amex. He's got a black one now. He just figured, go all the way.
B's Onyx all the way, baby. I know that.
Hey, Smoke. Obviously, you're locked in with the Caps, but my guess is you've been paying attention to what happened in Maryland over the last week. Kevin Willer going to Nova. Ooh. They're able to hire Buzz Williams. What do you make of just the last 10 days in College Park, real quick?
Chippy, that press conference where he basically told Damon Evans to take the SMU job, right?
It was crazy.
And that whole, I was like, what? This didn't sound like a man that was fighting for his program. It sounded like a man who was giving you the reason why he's about to walk. Mm-hmm. It was kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't know
Kevin Willard at all, but I liked what he did, and I loved the fact that, you know, he was so proud of, you know, hey, Baltimore kids are staying in Maryland. I thought, great, this is what that program needs. But then that press conference told me he's not about Maryland. He's about Kevin Willard.
About Kevin
and you
Willard.
Can say, fine, everybody should be for themselves. But when you're in that position and representing a state, you can't be only about yourself at that time of the year. That really, to me, was embarrassing.
It was, yep. I don't think anybody looked good coming out of it, but I think he looked the worst. And I think I'm really happy Maryland was able to move forward so fast. Buzz Williams doing his introductory presser right now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, from if you're looking at the resumes, these guys are pretty comparable. So, all right, Smoke, enjoy Raleigh. Stay out of the pollen.
Can I say one last thing?
Of course.
Also, from a selfish standpoint, I'm glad, you know, I want Dwayne Simpson's not going to be long at my alma mater, American University. We know that.
Yep.
But I'd like one more year with Dwayne Simpkins. So from a selfish standpoint, I'm glad Dwayne didn't get the tap until a couple of years from now.
Yeah. You get another tournament run from Dwayne and the boys over there on Mass
Ave. It will happen soon.
Thank you, Smoke. Appreciate the time, man.
Hi, Smoke.
All right, guys. Good talking with you.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
That's our guy, Al Koken. You can give him a follow at Real Smokin' Al. Watch all of the coverage on Monumental Sports Network for the Caps and as Alex Ovechkin is trying to track down Wayne Gretzky.
Real quick on the Caps, because there's some NFL stuff I want to get to. But they played badly last night.
Yep.
No doubt about that. You and I got into a near brawl today over this, actually.
A line brawl, yeah.
Darius had to step in and separate us because we were going at each other to such an extent.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going full Connor McMichael, just getting into a fight I shouldn't have been in. Your point on last night, I'll let you make it, is that you completely disagree with my stance, which is, man, did I love the final 10 minutes of hockey. I found it wildly entertaining. I think it's awesome that in a game in which you're getting shafted by the officials off and on, and I'm not a guy, that's not why they lost the game, they stunk. But there were several times last night where either a call's missed and or two guys are engaging, and for some reason, the Capitals go into the box longer than the Hurricane is. So you've got some of that frustration mounting. You've got Sebastian Aho whacking the back of Tom Wilson's leg, who had a torn ACL a couple years ago, with a stick. You got a skate blade coming up around his legs as well. Like, there were just a couple too many of those moments, carelessly, as the game went on, where the Caps have a decision to either just get worked over on the scoreboard and allow yourself to be pushed around in every other way, or to kind of fight back a little bit, and they did that. Which I'm all for, but I know you can't stand.
Oh, I think it's the loseriest thing in the world. And it's not the Caps, it's hockey. But number one, Ovi scored, that's awesome. That was really great. I'm glad that actually happened in what was otherwise a big waste of time going down there to Carolina.
Speaking of which, we should actually point this out right off the top here for our audience that we got two watch parties coming up, essentially. Tomorrow, we're live at City Tap House all day long ahead of the Caps game. So if you're going to Capital One Arena, Ovi within two of tying, three of breaking the record. We're going to be in Penn Quarter in the neighborhood right there where the arena is on 9th Street, two blocks away at City Tap House. So if you're rocking your red at the game, there's no reason not to pregame with us. If you're not and you're anywhere in the area in the city, just get on over there and have some lunch or have a drink and hang out and listen to the show Friday field trip style. And then on Sunday, we've just added this to the slate.
Yes.
We got a text last night asking if we would be willing to do this, and the answer was, of course, yes. Caddies in Bethesda. Our good buddies over there, we did a watch party ahead of the NFC Championship game. It was raucous, one of our best-attended events that we did. Maryland showed out. So we're going back to Caddies for Sunday's 12:30 Caps game. This is not a show. We're just hanging out with you guys.
We're just going to watch some hockey, eat some wings, man.
Yeah. So 12:30 start time for the Islanders and the Capitals. It's very unlikely that Ovi breaks the record tomorrow. He would need a hat trick. But if he gets one or two, then it's a real possibility.
Now you're on Ovi watch. I mean, you already are.
On Sunday, he gets a goal or two, he breaks the record, and we'd all be together at Caddies in Bethesda.
So, from Bethesda!
Two chances. Friday, City Tap House. That's tomorrow, 2 to 6:30. Sunday, from 12:30 until the game ends for a game watch. If you want to hang out with us, a lot of chances to do that.
So just to the point, and that's all good housekeeping. It's all true. Can't wait for it. I can't imagine. I know it's part of hockey culture. It's just normal. So this isn't me calling the Capitals out. I just think it's the most embarrassing thing in the world. We can't compete with you, so let's try to throw some punches. Can you imagine last night when the Wizards, they got another win, by the way, beat the Kings. Well, Alex Sarr got called for a couple of carries, a couple of chippy fouls. They couldn't make threes, so let's swing on DeMar DeRozan. In baseball, the Nets couldn't really hit very much. So let's have a guy do a dirty slide at second base and have the benches clear, see if we can get a brawl or something. A couple guys ejected. Well, Washington got a couple bogus holding penalties, local 53. So let's do a couple late hits, see if we can start a fight because we're down double digits to Philadelphia. I can't believe it's a thing. It looks, I mean, I remember once in a tournament I played in forever ago, we beat some team and they were pissed off about it. And so one of the guys in the handshake line said, "We can't beat you in a game. Let's see if we can beat you in a fight," and shove somebody. And it just was so pathetic. And that's all it is to me is, well, it's not going our way. Let's throw hands. And we're lucky nothing terrible happened. We're lucky that Conor McMichael isn't concussed or his head got cracked open, shouldn't be fighting, and he got body slammed. I'm sure that was fine, by the way.
That was on him for getting into a fight, though. I mean, first of all, the whirling dervish body slam is against everything in hockey code, so it shouldn't happen, and it doesn't happen in fairness. That guy should have been suspended a game or two, and he didn't get suspended.
I agree with that.
But also, Conor McMichael shouldn't be fighting. Like, you're not a fighter. I think the moment felt pretty fun.
Right.
And he wanted to get on the action. You don't remember this. This is going to be a reference that means nothing to you, but a lot of our listeners hopefully will enjoy it. There's a scene in Mighty Ducks. If you need to take a minute, go ahead.
I'm just going to take my headphones off.
Where Dean Portman and his fellow Bash brother, Fulton Reed, are getting into a fight, right? And like, one by one, some of the Ducks are now getting into it, a la last night in the third period. But eventually, the figure skater that they brought in to be on their team, Kenny Wu, remember him?
No.
Woo, 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 Kenny Wu?
No.
He's just a figure skater. He's a very small boy, wee little guy. Well, he gets into a fight, and he just like pulls the jersey over, and he's trying to fight this guy. But then he comes into the box. That's what I imagine Conor McMichael showing up in the dressing room was like last night.
Woo, 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 guy? Yeah.
When Tom Wilson's had his game misconduct, and Duhame, who gets in fights all the time, is game misconduct, those guys are undressing and getting in the shower. Nick Dowd occasionally will mix it up. He's livid, getting, you know, several minutes last night, 12 minutes of Pims. He gets a game misconduct, like one after another. But then all of a sudden, McMichael comes in, and they're like, what the heck's Kenny Wu doing
here?
What
are you doing here? Did you get lost?
You're not supposed to be here. Did you break a shoelace on your skate?
It apparently sends this message, and the message to me is we can't compete with you, so we're going to try to fight you. I don't see that. That doesn't have the weight to me. Now, again, it's the culture, and that's what they it's time immemorial. Hockey teams do this. We're down by a couple goals. Let's have someone fight somebody else, and everybody claps as if it's the right thing to do. But I just think when you're down that much and it's not competitive because you've been run out of the gym or the barn that night, it's the loseriest thing possible.
I would agree if the calculation was we're going to fight you because we're losing 5-1, which I don't think is what happened last night. And more often than not, doesn't happen. There are blowouts in the NHL all the time. Now, oddly enough, or excitingly enough, I guess, the Capitals have not really been blown out like that all year.
Very little.
This was the first time all season they've lost a game like that, where it was four goals and it was just, they got completely worked. Game took 75 games basically to get there. So that's a gigantic win. That's going to happen a couple times a season normally. But there are, every night in the NHL, 5-0, 6-1 games where this does not happen.
In every pro league there is, with the travel schedules, back-to-backs, you know, long grinding road trips, whatever. I mean, it's a normal thing.
But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you don't fight the other team because they're beating you by a lot. That's not what happens. You fight the other team because while they're beating you by a lot, in this case, they are doing things that are across the line. They are doing things that you perceive to be kind of punking you or sunning you a little bit or, you know, rubbing your face in it and or, you know, tapping yourself on the head. It's the equivalent of crossing the unwritten rules that you know very well as a college baseball player, where little things, again, like the Aho dodging of Wilson at center ice when he goes to hit him last night, and the stick hits him in the back of the leg. He was livid about that. He wanted to get at Wagner for a hit a little bit earlier on. There were little liberties being taken where, hey, it's a 5-1 game. We're all skating around trying to keep each other healthy. But if there's a couple of those things that we think crosses the line or we don't like, oh, by the way, we're skating angry to your point because of the current result and because of the officiating. I think it all adds up. But I think every team in the league, the Capitals are no different, are perfectly capable of taking their medicine and just getting beat handily without fighting a bunch of people if it's done in a way where you're not crossing the line. And maybe because it's a division rival, because you hate the Hurricanes, because you have bad relationship and bad blood with these guys, and there's going to be a lot of jawing. It's just going to get there anyway, inevitably, over 60 minutes. But I'm excited. These teams play again in 8 days. I can't wait for that game. Could be some fireworks there. A couple of guys having to answer the bell, perhaps. But more importantly, they got to get back on track.
Yeah, you know, that's the part I care about.
They've lost 4 out of 5. Ovi's record is now a formality. It's going to happen. It looks like it's a lock. He needs 3 more. He's got plenty of time to do it. But we'll ask Chychrun about the fact that they just need to play better hockey, too. Because like that, to me, is a no-brainer as well. But that was at least entertaining, fun to watch last night. in the final minutes of that game. But you're also anti-fighting in general in hockey.
So
like
I
you would get rid of it tomorrow. It's like the Dylan McIlrath fight 2 nights ago that was the fight of the year did nothing for you.
No, and I fully admit that I'm biased in that way. So this is just, you know, further down the line to me in terms of that. Like, I don't think we should be punching each other. It's just my general stance. But even with that, I think this is kind of a separate silo, but they're somewhat argued it's feeding out of the same trough. In other words, like, if you're against fighting, you're probably against this kind of fighting too. It's just the way that it looks to me is the biggest problem.
You think it looks small, like, to you it looks like you're getting beat, and so you, like, slap someone or whatever.
Precisely. You know? So, like, it's like you know their coach is a horse's ass, and who I hate. I hate Rod Brindamore.
He's such a loser.
Hated him as a player.
God, and he stinks.
You're now basically going, hey, the things you tried to do to agitate me, not only are you kicking my ass, but they worked. You did it. You've gotten everything you wanted out of this game. I'm now more concerned with punching you back than I am with beating you in the hockey match. So to me, it's like you're defeated everywhere, and the best thing you can do is try to face wash somebody and hope that it works out. I think it's so losery.
I guess if I viewed it the way you do, like they're doing that because they're down 4 goals, I would probably also feel the same way. Like sourpuss, sour grapes, you got worked over, and now you're down a bunch of goals. You can't score on my guy, so you're going to fight me? That's embarrassing. I didn't think that's what it was last night. Like Nick Dowd is an example,
mm-hmm.
who was on with the Junkies today. I've never seen him as angry as he was last night.
He was livid.
He was in the box, standing up, trying to get after and go. Like, that's not because they're losing by 4. Nick Dowd's lost by 4 15 times in his career. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Like, there is bad blood and things that have happened throughout the game where, again, like, if I'm in a tight game, I got to let it go. I don't have to let things go anymore. This game is irrelevant. It's over. We're skating around wasting time until the final seconds. and you're going to punk me? You're going to sun me? You're going to take a late shot at me? You're going to whack me in a spot you're not supposed to? All that little stuff that you normally let slide, that normally just ends up being a non-factor, becomes worth fighting over. But I kind of like the ability for everyone to jaw and to talk. I hate when the guys that can't and don't fight start fighting. That's where I draw the line a little bit. Because the beauty of hockey, and this is just one of those things a lot of people don't get, even though there aren't written rules, everybody is policed by a code. And so the fighter fights the fighter only. You can't go fight the guy that doesn't fight. If he asks for it, maybe you could accept it. Remember Jay Beagle getting knocked out by Aaron Asham years ago, out cold. And Connor McMichael, for some reason I will never understand, tried to fight. Now, he didn't fight someone that fights a whole lot, but he ends up getting body slammed on the ice and slamming his head, and he's feeling the back of his head for blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dirty play to slam you. That should not happen, but you know what else shouldn't be happening? You shouldn't be fighting because you don't know how to fight and you don't know how to brace yourself and to avoid that body slam when he tries to do it. So the whole thing was, yeah, you know, got sideways in that way.
And that's part of my larger point about fighting in general is we're amazed that sometimes, well, this breaks the code. Well, when two guys are grabbing and throwing hands at each other, there's might be bound to be more accidents than when you're not doing that.
Sure.
Like you and I right now somehow are not slamming each other's heads into the ground. If we were engaged in fisticuffs right over there, something bad might happen. Like, you're far more at risk. But your point's well seen. It's like the untrained guy going, I want to play too. And it's like, nah, now's not the time, Connor.
They do a really good job, I'd say, largely, by playing within the unwritten rules and the code, so to speak. But I also think in hockey, there is a policing that has to happen because of the violence of the game, the speed of the game, the contact, the hits, the physicality that maybe isn't as necessary. Like when Jason Worth says, we got to police our game, we got to hit each other, whatever. I don't necessarily think that's true. In hockey, I don't know that there's another way, really, to be honest with you. Like, I think it's 1,000% true that if you know Tom Wilson's going to beat your ass, if you take a dirty shot at Alex Ovechkin, you're not going to take the dirty shot at Alex Ovechkin. That changes the way players operate. If you know if you do something you're not supposed to do, you're going to have to drop the gloves at center ice, start the next period or whatever, when someone comes out and has a conversation with you, you're less likely to do the thing. And there's not really another way to do that, in my opinion.
How do they do it in football or lacrosse without having fights?
Lacrosse I can't speak to. I don't watch
it. I don't watch it either. I'm thinking of sports where there's checking and some violence.
Football is, I just think the comp isn't good because in hockey, the full speed nature of the collisions, like you are allowed to hit violently constantly all the time in motion. Whereas in football, there's a start and stop to every play, if that makes sense. Like, it just, if you do something dirty in football after the play, generally there's a fight. You know, certainly in practice and these training camp gatherings and whatever else, you're going to fight the guy. In a game, you would get penalized and ejected, I guess, or something like that. But yeah, they still try to fight all the time and hit each other in the helmets and do stupid things. In hockey, I think you see far less of that nonsense because of the way they police it.
I don't know about that. I think there's way more accepted extracurricular in hockey than in any other sport combined. Like, to me, the football guy's pushing after the whistle,
part
or whatever.
Of the sport.
And that's my point, is we just accept it as part of the sport. But the
but
argument
you can't
that,
change it.
You when you're making the circular
tomorrow.
Argument going, well, it's part of the sport, and the reason it's part of the sport is this, there's no other way to do it. My point is, sure there is, but we don't want to change it because it's part of the sport.
No, you can't tomorrow just say, hey, in hockey, there's no... When you say extracurricular, you're referencing like the pushing, the shoving, the face washing, all that stuff.
Sure, the accepted, the fights, someone takes a stick and whacks somebody last night. That should be a penalty. That guy should be fined,
well,
maybe even suspended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you can legislate it out if you wanted to, but I don't think they want to.
Well, they don't, because you'd be, again, it's the equivalent of, like, we can't even get a potential balls and strikes change behind the plate in baseball.
Right.
It would change the complete sport. I mean, and nobody in the sport wants it. Respectfully, you want it. You
right.
watch some Caps games. Like, people that like hockey don't want that.
Totally.
Why would they do that?
I fully acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That people don't want it. But I guess that's my point, is to say there's no other way, sure there is, but people aren't excited about it.
Well,
like, in other words, to me, what should happen is people shouldn't have goons on their team. They should have...
They're gone, though, mostly.
They should have skilled players on their team.
Yeah,
and
if there's mostly gone.
If there's extracurricular stuff, whoever your fighters are, you should have 25
but
skilled
guys. The
fighters
are now pretty skilled. The fighters can... Like,
more
Matt
so than
Renfe
before.
Of the Rangers can skate. You know, he's not Tom Wilson, but Tom Wilson is a top-line player who scored 30 goals. Maybe the best fighter in the league.
Less, what's
Brady
the guy's name
Kachuk.
For... Less, what's
is,
the guy's name
great.
From
Ryan
from
Reeves.
Yeah, Ryan Reeves.
Of.
Yeah, less of that guy.
That guy doesn't exist anymore. You know, he's getting 4 minutes. I can't even tell you what team he's on. He's on his third team this season. So, like, they are doing the things you're talking about. There's way less fights. A guy like Alan May, respectfully, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus.
Why are you throwing him under the bus?
No, Mayday's my guy. But, like, he's not in the league right now.
Right.
And maybe May would be because he's skilled enough. I didn't watch enough in that era. But my point is, you're not running around fighting people all the time. Like, look at Tom Wilson. He gets in a fight every 3 to 4 weeks. Used to be, Tom Wilson's in a fight all the time. Doesn't happen. You might get... It's actually been ramped up a lot this week for some reason. I was just talking to someone about this in the NHL. But you could watch 10 hockey Caps games in a row. You won't see a fight. That's not the case at any other point in any other era, really, up until now. So it is happening. They're getting rid of the illegal hits. They're getting rid of the fights. A lot of the stuff you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't just touch a button and change the game, like, and say, no extracurriculars. We're going to do it like football. And I guess if I said, I don't know if I did, but I said there's no other way to do it. You're right. There's another way. What I'm saying is I think it works how hockey does it. The policing of the game with players having to answer to one another does work. And it's been proven over a long, 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 long time that it works. And I don't mind it. I happen to enjoy it. I love it. But I think it's a win for the sport that they can police themselves in that way. And they take more control out of the guys that ruin it, as far as I'm concerned, which is the Department of Player Safety and the referees and all that.
Well, here's what I'm liking. Our friend Craig Lachlan joins us now via the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can watch Craig on Monumental calling the Caps games with Joe B. Locker, you've seen a lot of hockey, man. What'd you think of that thing last night?
That was old school. That was the 1980s when I played in the 70s. I mean, it just got out of hand. But I loved it for a fan. I think, you know, we love the goals. We love the hits. Throw in the odd fight. That's hockey in a nutshell. And I thought it got a little bit out of hand because back in the day, you just have the big boys fighting each other, like a McElrath and somebody like that going head-to-head. They don't have one of those guys. So sort of a scrappy game, but I didn't like the outcome, but I sure do love Ovi.
Oh, yeah.
How cool has this been to be a part of Ovi's whole career? And I mean, for you as a hockey lifer, did you ever think somebody would catch Gretzky on that number?
Absolutely not. I mean, when I was asked years ago, even when Ovi was getting those 60-goal seasons and winning the Rocket Richard so many years, I said there's no way that that number is attainable. You think about it, and you think that, you know, you look at where he is today and that he's going to beat Gretzky sooner rather than later. And again, I'm going to say it, but it may not come true. I probably will be in my grave if someone does beat the record that Ovi's going to attain coming up here, because it's going to take someone to score, you know, 20 seasons at 45 goals to reach 900. And to me, that's just not attainable, it seems, in this day and age in pro sports. But this is spectacular. It's great for the game. We're building more fans. More people are getting excited. To me, this is one of the greatest years for hockey and the growth of the game because of what Ovi is doing here.
Like, what do you like the game last night? They had they had back to backs, and then they go down there, and Carolina had been waiting. They hadn't played in 3 days. Do you write that off as that, or do you see anything we need to be concerned about?
Well, we've lost 4 and 5, B Mitch, and that to me, we're seeing sort of a game that they're not playing correctly. And to me, it's the time of the season, number one. Playing 3 and 4 is hard in the NHL, especially against a team like Carolina who come at you, and we knew they were going to come out. You know what they're going to do. They're going to press, 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 put you on the heels. The Caps couldn't survive. The game could have been changed around had we scored on the mini breakaway by Protas. Then all of a sudden it's 1-0 Caps. Then all of a sudden it gets a little scrambling and you have a chance to win. Once it got to 3-0, there was no way. So I just think it's a combination of that, but it's a combination of our guys not playing the way they had been. They're getting away from the game that the Caps need to play to win. It's like against Buffalo. We think we're this run-and-gun team. We thought, hey, checking's going to be optional. And Buffalo said, checking's optional. That's playing right into our hands. And they start putting goals in. And to me, that was sort of the way it was last night. We had a real problem with the pressure that they had, their power play. I really dismantled the penalty-killing unit. And all of a sudden, that game you just put to the side. But you have to start to really look at this to get ready, because 7 games or 8 games left here before the playoffs, you've got to be, you know, firing on all cylinders if we're going to have success.
For
totally,
sure.
Totally.
Talking with our guy, Craig Laughlin. You can follow him on Instagram at Craig_Laughlin18. Now, Locker, with this, with the game last night, I was worried about that spot. You know, the 4 of the last 5 had been on the road. This was a back-to-back. It was their third game since Sunday, like third game in 4 days, I guess. I thought they'd be gassed, and I thought Carolina would be really amped up to have the Caps in their building. But like you said, you want to be firing on all cylinders. I kind of look ahead a week. Now, the Ovi stuff is going to be different, but the next big-time matchup is when the Hurricanes come up here next Thursday night. What do you think that'll be like 1 week after an insane amount of fistfights?
More fistfights.
It's funny. It's going to be interesting because if Ovi gets the record, there's sort of going to be a possible lull there because, you know, the team's getting some energy from him, I'm sure. And Carolina, you know, punched their place into the playoffs last night with a point, with the 2 points that they got. So to me, it's about... Carolina last night really wanted to press the point because arguably that could be the second round matchup in the playoffs. So I expect some of the things that were done that could be optionally dirty last night by some guys, that at the end of the day, it's going to be a raucous game. It's going to be a similar, chippy, hard game. That's what Brendan Moore wants. He's not happy if they don't play his style. And that was always his style as a coach. So, you know, they're going to come in and play fast, play hard. We're going to have to match that. I think it's a good tune-up. You need games like that that can tune you up to get ready for the playoffs. They're going to need that style.
Yeah, agreed. You mentioned some of the stuff last night you didn't really appreciate. It seemed pretty clear that a lot of the guys on the Caps thought Carolina was going way over the line, man.
Yeah, and I was, you know, it's both teams, right? The game's sort of out of hand. So now you're giving a little crack at a guy at the end of a shift. You're giving a little slash. You know, Tom was slashed by Aho, arguably their best player, which you know, he's smart enough that you don't slash Tom Wilson in the back of the leg because just going to wake him up. You walk away. You know, there's no point to do that when you're the best player on that team. So to me, they just had, they had a little more energy, and there was a lot of hacking and whacking, a couple of fights there, and everyone got involved because the game was out of hand, guys. And to me, I thought the referees were just okay. I thought they didn't call the game. You could establish the style of game. The referee can often do that early in the game and say, boys, this is what's going to happen, and this is, you do this and you're gone. You've got 10 minutes or whatever. But I didn't think they clamped down on that soon enough, and that's why we had a three-hour game. And it was the longest game of the season.
It got nuts.
It was. Now, Thompson goes down. I mean, these are the game last night. Is he okay?
We have not heard today because it's a day off for the Caps, and they will resume practice tomorrow. I mean, you can look at it. They called it an upper body injury. I'm not sure if it was a shot off the face mask early on in that game. It could have been something else that happened, but we did not get any updates, B-Mitch, and so we're waiting for tomorrow to see, or today, if there's a problem, they would have to recall a goalie.
Oh, that could get interesting. Talking with our friend Craig Lachlan here, you can watch The Locker on Monumental. He and Joe B do an excellent job calling games, have for a long time. It's funny as we barrel towards the end of this season here, and you've got the Ovi chase going on with, you know, the possible President's Trophy. Like, there's a lot happening at the end of the year here. Specific to Ovi, he's now only three away. Got one last night. Do you have a pick when you think it happens, Locker?
I think, you know, a lot of people are saying it's tomorrow night he's going to get the hat trick because he got his 800th in Chicago with the Hattie. But I'm thinking Thursday against Carolina.
A week from now.
I'll take it tomorrow night. I'll be in the building.
Yeah, tomorrow night it might happen, B-Mitch. It's a good bet because Chicago's very young, youngest goaltending tandem, one of the youngest defensive corps. However, they played great last night. They lost, I think, in overtime to Colorado, so they played a tight game. But they're young. They're one of the youngest teams, and they beat us in Chicago, so the Caps should have that on their mind, and they should have a real good game tomorrow night. They got to get their game in order and get the lines going. And I like Ryan Leonard the first two games, which is a positive. He brought some energy, I thought, to the lineup. So we'll see how they put the lines together tomorrow. But today is a total day off for the boys.
They deserve it after four or five on the road and maybe just kind of a clear your head, spend a little time with the family.
Well, you have to give teams days off now. Did you know that? It's in the collective bargaining agreement.
I did not.
Have one day off per 7 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for them.
Yeah, you have to have a full day off.
How many days off did you get when you were playing, Locker?
Zero. The coach would stand on the blue line and let's skate, boys. Let's sweat out those beers, and then you can go home. There was no days off, and there was never a day off. At the end of my career, we started having optional practices, and then you were worried, should I take my option or shouldn't? Are they going to see that I didn't take my practice and didn't play good that night or played well or whatever? But at the end of my career, they started saying, you know what, the pregame skates at 10:30 in the morning. Are they going to make you tired? Aren't they? A lot of different teams look at it a different way. The Caps have optional skates when they're on the road. Tomorrow will probably be a full skate because they have a full day off today. So we'll wait and see. But it's definitely cool in the collective bargaining agreement that they say, you've got to have at least one day off. I think it's one day every 7 or 10 days, but it's got to be in the calendar. And it allows the players also, which is good, to know that then, you know what, that can be family day. That can be, they can get back and they know exactly what day they're going to be off so they can plan stuff to do with the family or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
Makes a lot of sense.
Talking to our friend Craig Lachlan here, The Locker. Give him a follow at Craig_Lachlan18, LAUGHLIN18. I wanted to say this when we first got you on the phone, but I thought we wouldn't be able to transition to talking about the hockey team. So I decided to talk hockey first. But I wanted to say personally, truly, how happy I am you're back in the booth with Joe.
All of us, brother.
We know you had your health scare, and I know you took it seriously and did all your rehab and all the things. But just speaking on behalf of Caps fans, man, it's so great to have you back, and we're so happy you're healthy.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was a full open heart procedure. I had three or four things done to my heart. I had a new aorta, new valve, a bypass, a clip, you name it. So my heart is totally ironclad. They didn't guarantee about the rest of my body, by the way. and I'm ready to go. I'm still in the middle of, I've got 12 weeks of heart rehab, cardiac rehab. So my appointment's usually at 2 o'clock each day. I have to go to the hospital. They hook me up to the monitors and everything. And I have to do the bike and anything like that, like a UBE, a bike, a treadmill, and do that. And then for about an hour, and then they monitor you, and then they say, yep, you're good. Your heart rate was this, your blood pressure was this, and you're good to go. So I'm feeling much better. I have about 8 weeks or 10 weeks more of that. But I can do everything now other than weightlift. I can run. I can do the Peloton. I can do all that stuff. So it's really came around fast. And I was like an athlete. And you guys know this, that as an athlete, you get injured, you sort of set a timetable for your return. And my timetable was set after my surgery on the 4th. I said to my family, I said, I'm going to be back for the Buffalo game at the end of March. And that was my goal. And it ended up being 7 weeks and a couple of days to the date. And I returned, and that was my return date. I wanted to be back for that. So I did everything possible in the recovery process to be ready. And it worked out perfectly. I'm a little fatigued today on a back-to-back and 3 and 4. So I know what the players are tired too, because I'm tired. And I'm getting ready for rehab today at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's, you know, great. What? You're back in training, man. That's all it is.
That's exactly what it is. I just got to train.
Muscle memory, baby.
That's it, man. I'm ready.
I know. I feel like you had a post before you came back, like jogging and shooting wristers in your driveway. And I was like, damn, Locker's coming back. And then I actually like remember where I was when I saw the tweet, and it was like, oh man, Locker's coming back. And it was just, dude, it was so exciting just to know, you know, cause I remember I've worked with Courtney. Like, I feel like I know your family, like,
yeah,
just that you're
absolutely
doing so well and have gotten through this thing. That like the human side, even more than I love you and Joe and watching games and listening to it. I was just, what were the emotions like for you getting back in the booth for that Sabres game?
Well, it was special because I didn't know they were going to do the thing on the Jumbotron. I didn't know any of that. That was caught me off guard. When I came to the rink, you know, everybody was welcoming, the players, you name it, on the road. I got to re-energize and be a part with the team, and Ovechkin and everybody so accommodating and so pumped up to see me back. It was just it was a surreal experience to get back into the booth. I thought, you know, first game back, I had watched the games on TV. I'd watched a lot of hockey during my recovery, and it was just like, I guess it was just like the old saying, it was like riding a bike again, just getting back out there. And being with Joe Bean, he's such a pro. I knew. I did tell him the first game in Buffalo, I said, Joe, I've got a bad heart, so this is one of the first games you have to carry me for a change. And I did tell him that.
I said, love it.
You've got to step up, man, because I can't keep carrying our show. Just step up until my heart's fully recovered.
I do have to ask this one, Locker, and this one might be tough.
Okay.
You are a noted fan of Buffalo wings. Are we laying off the wings now? Like, what are you doing going forward?
It's just in, you can have everything just in moderation, right?
Yeah.
That's my whole thing.
Are you ready for the moderation though? I know you're locked. All right.
Yes. I am. And I've got back. I asked my doctor right away. The first thing I asked him, I said, okay, doc, when can I have an IPA? I said, when can I have my beer? That's my thing. So he said, okay, you can have one beer. And so now I've sort of been slowing down on that. I've been slowing down on how I eat on the road. But again, a lot of this was caused by my bicuspid valve. I only had 2 leaves in my valve. So now they put a triple, like you guys probably have, a triple leaf valve. So I think I'm good to go, guys. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to beat everybody on the tennis court. I'm ready to go.
I love it, man. We're so happy to hear it. And, you know, Locker, as two guys like myself and Brian that really believe in the power of moderation, we really we encourage you in your moderation journey, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on that journey, boys. I don't know for how long, but I'm on that journey.
All right, Locker. We'll see you tomorrow night before the Blackhawks game.
Welcome back, brother.
Well, thank you, guys. And don't be afraid. If you're in the game, drop up into the booth. Love to see you guys.
All right, man.
Thanks again, Locker. So happy to hear you again on the games.
Thanks, man. See you,
bro.
That's our guy, Craig Lachlan. I feel like every game since he's been back, there's been fights. And there was plenty of them last night.
Well, they said, hey, they're doing what he used to do.
Dude, and Joe B's calling it like a real boxing match. And Locker's just like, oh, old-time hockey. I love
it.
Absolutely love it.
The Caps lost a game decisively last night, 5-1 in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes. They did not play well in the first period. They were chasing the game from that point on. But it was entertaining. A lot of fights late in the contest, which we can ask Jacob Chychrun about. He's joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jacob Chychrun joins us every single Wednesday on the show. This week, a little different with the game schedule, but he's brought to you by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders. This is presented by IT Cadre, where DC sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. Jacob, how about last night? What was going on? I mean, you guys lost a game where you didn't play well. It was not a good performance, but it was fun to watch in the third because there were a lot of fights. It got very chippy. What'd you make of the game?
Yeah, obviously not the night we wanted. That's definitely, you know, a tough building to play in. I think they got, a really good atmosphere. And, it's a team that plays really hard, obviously. Their coach, Rod, he has them, going every single night. I think they have the best home record in the NHL, and it's just a tough building to play in. And we didn't, come out with enough urgency. And I think, we got behind, and it's a tough place to get yourself back into the game when you don't have a good start. So, you got to try to, do something to, show them you're not going down, without a fight. And I think, it'll be fun to play them again in a few days.
Was there something specific? The only thing I could see when I watched back, very specific to Tom Wilson, was when Aho kind of whipped around with his stick, caught him in the back of the knee when he dodged him at center ice. But otherwise, was there anything specific that anybody did that really got under skin? I mean, Nick Dowd was angrier than I've ever seen him. Connor McMichael was fighting. It was not a normal chippy third period, if that makes sense.
I don't know. I think to be honest, we were a little frustrated with the officiating at certain points of that game. And I think, there was two or three scrums where we somehow come out with the extra penalty for every single one of them. So I think, in a way, I just think we were a little frustrated with that and felt, we had to do something to stick up for ourselves in a game where, our penalty kill wasn't as good as it's been. And we feel like, in those situations where, we shouldn't necessarily be coming out with an extra, penalty and go shorthanded and they capitalize. It's just an instance where we, just feel, frustrated, I think, and like we need to, just do something to stick up for ourselves and let them know that, we're not just a team that's going to roll over. We're going to, continue to come at you. And that's obviously a team that, if we, get to where we want to go in the playoffs, we might have to go through that team at some point. So, you never want to roll over in a game like that.
Jacob Chychrun with us here. Oh, Grant and Danny, you guys are dropped 4 of 5 here of late. Just feels like you haven't played your best hockey. You turn in so much good work over the course of the season with a commanding lead in the division and the conference. What's been going on here lately in terms of, finding you guys' game and what do you need to get back to?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, it's one of those, it's kind of a weird, part of the season. I think it's tough. I mean, we've obviously done such incredible things all year. We haven't had really any games like last night where we, you know, go down early and don't play well for most of the game and lose by, you know, a large number. I think it is impressive to, you know, go through an entire season here. I think we won in the game, whatever, 75, whatever it is, and to not have a, you know, a blowout like that is impressive. And I think, you know, it's kind of a point in the year where, like I said, we've done so much, you know, we've had so many great games and we've been so consistent and, you know, we're looking forward to the playoffs and we're, you know, excited for, you know, the end of the year and to get into the playoffs and try to do what we can. And it's also, you know, the end of the season it's tough. I mean, we've played so much hockey and, you know, I don't want to say it's just an awkward, I think, time of the year for us. And, you know, it's definitely no excuse. Like, we need to do everything we can to, you know, just give ourselves that extra confidence going into the postseason. But, you know, I don't think us dropping, you know, games should give us any sort of doubt or lack of confidence going into, you know, the postseason. I just think, you know, we got to look at the body of work that we've done this year and be really confident in that and just do our best to continue to push towards that postseason. But, yeah, we'll do whatever we can to get out of this little bit of a slump. But, you know, I think you don't want to panic in these moments. I just think, like I said, we've got such a great body of work and a team that's capable of, you know, winning every night. So,
Caps defenseman Jacob Chychrun on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You debuted in the NHL at 18 years old. Ryan Leonard made his debut this week, fresh out of college. One night he's on BC. Two nights later, he's in the lineup in line with Stromer and Protas at 20 years old. What have you thought of the kid so far?
No, oh, he's great. First off, he's a really good kid. You know, it's been great having him, getting to know him. We had a fun night the first night in Boston there. We were able to go meet, you know, all his teammates at BC. And, yeah, just had a nice dinner and getting to know him a little bit. And I think he's going to be obviously a big part of this organization. And we're just, you know, really excited to have him for this final stretch here. You know, you obviously see the talent that he has and the ability and, in certain moments, and I think he's going to get more and more comfortable each game. And he's a guy I see contributing, you know, as early as, you know, these games coming up and into the postseason. So, just really happy to have him and excited to see what he can do.
You were part of that little group that went viral, where you and Ovi and Leonard and whoever, you know, sort of pick him up, went to a campus bar and are plopped up there, you know, having some dinner. How did that come about?
Yeah, so we had a group of guys that took him out to dinner the first night, and he just kind of mentioned, like, hey, my teammates are, like, dying to meet, you know, you guys and Ovi, obviously. And so we kind of left it up to the big man, and Ovi said he was down to go, you know, meet his team at a local bar that the boys like to go to. And obviously it's the end of their season. So mm-hmm. They're kind of at the point where they're getting together every night and going out and having beers and, you know, kind of reminiscing on the year they had. So, you know, it worked out great. We were able to go meet them and the bar was empty. We were the only people in there, which was really nice. And, just able to kind of mingle with his team and, you know, chat it up a bit. And I think by the end of the night, the word started to get out that Ovi was at the bars and people started to show up. So that's when we started to get out of there. And I think that's when all the videos were happening. So we left shortly after that. But it was fun. Yeah, they got the music going. They wanted to hear, you know, the famous song that's going around. So, yeah, it was a good night.
Yeah, that song has become, it seems like, a bit of a I don't know if it'll be the locker room song. Last year for this group, it was Alabama, I think. Talladega, I guess, is what it was called. But is that now the locker room song, or is that just something Ovi sings? We always see him singing it to you before you guys go out on the ice. What's the backstory on the band's Makes Her Dance?
It's not a team song. It's more, I don't know. I guess it's kind of just, it's really just me and Ovi's thing. Like once I was wearing the headband earlier in the year for warm-ups, that was kind of the first thing that popped into his head was that song, and he started singing. Now he just sings it every time I come out for warm-ups. So it's kind of gone viral, but yeah, it's just something that, you know, the boys have fun with, so.
My wife is obsessed with it, and she asked me to ask you about it like 1,000 times. So, A, I don't know what's being said, and then when Ovi says it, I think I know less about what's actually being said in the song, Jacob. Like, what is it? I don't have a better question than that.
I don't know. I mean, it's a funny song. It's not something I would, you know, I don't know, want my young kids listening to. So
not in your regular Spotify rotation? Funny.
No, it's definitely not. Maybe when I was, you know, back in my high school days. But, you know, since I try not to listen to that stuff, so it's kind of funny. But is a big, he's a big, you know, hip-hop rap guy. So he knows all those songs, and he... Yeah, I don't know. He loves it, and he puts his version on everything. He's got, you know, nicknames for all the guys that I couldn't tell you what half of them mean, but they just all stick. And then with this song, he's definitely made his own variation of it, and it's just hilarious. Like, I don't know. He's just so funny, and he likes to put a twist on just about everything, and half of it doesn't make sense, but it's just hilarious, so we roll with it.
It's a pretty famous song. Google those lyrics, Danny.
I don't know what the lyrics are to Google them. I don't know where to start.
I'll let you know a little bit later. All right, Jacob, we'll let you out on this one. Speaking of OV, an obligatory question is we're now knocking on the door of the record. He is 2 from tying, 3 from setting. I'll be in the building tomorrow, and with him, who knows, right? It could happen. But is it on your guys' minds at any point during the game or, like, on the power play? You have a perfect pass to him, feed him, set him up. That's not abnormal. But also, like, during empty nets, we see guys trying to get him the puck. I mean, is it something that is something you think about or not really?
I mean, when he's, you know, in a position to score, I mean, you know, you want to get him the puck. He's a, you know, you're trying to find that guy because, you know, you got to score to win, and he's obviously the best to ever do it. So, I think, you know, when you're out there with him, you try to find him, and when he's, you know, loaded and ready to, you know, get one off, because there's a good chance he's going to beat the goalie.
Jacob, thank you as always, buddy. Keep it up, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals on Grant and Danny.
But the story for us, and really maybe the sports story of tonight, and if it doesn't happen tonight, maybe on Sunday, is Alex Ovechkin bearing down on Wayne Gretzky. 3 away from breaking the record, 2 away from tying the record. You know, the record tying goal will be a big deal as well. You know, I would imagine that would be a stop the game moment when he ties it. You know, I was talking to Tommy this morning because we recorded the podcast earlier this morning. He said that essentially Hank Aaron's 714, which was the tying home run, is incredibly memorable. It came off of Jack Billingham in April of 1974, a few days before he broke the record against Al Downing and the Dodgers to get to 715, which is one of the most, you know, indelible 20th century sports moments there was. I mean, Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run mark, you know, on April 8th, 1974 is a moment. But him tying that mark was a massive night, too. They were, you know, televising that stuff. It's different in baseball. We've talked about this before, where you can break in and show an at-bat. You don't know when these goals are going to happen. But I would imagine being 2 away from tying it, that the tying number, 894, he's at 892 right now, will be a stop-the-game moment as well. And then obviously when he breaks the record, it will be huge. We've talked about this week. Ovechkin does have 2 hat tricks on the season. He had one against Vegas early in the year, and he had one against Edmonton right after the in-season Four Nation tournament. So it's possible it could happen tonight. It's just amazing the tear that he is on right now. I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like, given what he's done, you know, a goal. He's had a goal in each of his last three games. He's had four goals in his last five games. He's had five goals in his last eight games. I mean, the guy is on a tear right now. It certainly doesn't seem like there's much of a chance with still seven games to go that he's not going to do it. But the best of goal scorers do go into goal scoring droughts. It happens. And, you know, I would think that he's going to do it. And, you know, really starting tonight is when it becomes must watch. They play Chicago at Capital One in Chinatown, 7 o'clock. You get to hear Joe B and the Monumental guys call it. And then if he doesn't do it tonight, Sunday, they're, you know, on the road against the Islanders, 12:30 is the start time there. And then after that, they come back home against Carolina. So two of the next three are at home, with the one road game being against the Islanders. I would think New York being really good hockey fans. Now, the Islanders still have, you know, a mathematical chance to snag the last wild card spot. They're 5 points behind Montreal and the Rangers for that last spot. Actually, now Montreal won last night. My fault. Montreal now has 81 points. They are in that spot. So the Islanders haven't been mathematically eliminated from that last spot, but they're 7 points behind with eight games to go. But I still think that Ovechkin, if he breaks the record against the Islanders, it will be, you know, it'll be a dramatic moment. It'll be a moment where hockey fans, real hockey fans in New York, are witnessing history. You know, the road game at Columbus next Saturday, if he hasn't done it, you know, I don't know. You can tell me, somebody out there, whether or not Columbus has a really strong hockey, you know, fan base. But I certainly know New York, Boston the other night, Pittsburgh, where they play the season finale. If it happens on the road, it's going to be a pretty dramatic moment, and I think well received by the road crowd. But it could happen tonight. Tonight at 7 o'clock.
And I mean, can hear that, Kevin, right here on the Team 980. Pre-game 6:45 puck drop for potentially Alex Ovechkin's record-breaking game tonight right here on 980.
How about that? We got the Caps game and the John Walton call, right, tonight?
Tonight, yep. I'm excited about it.
So if you're out and about, you can tune into 980 tonight to listen to John Walton and company call Ovechkin's game. You know, I was reading something yesterday that I thought was interesting just about Ovechkin's career. Because, look, many of you listening, and you know this, you know more about this than I do when it comes to hockey and it comes to Ovechkin. But, you know, Ovechkin is playing in an era that most of you know this, where it's much harder to score goals. Gretzky played in an era where it was much easier to score goals. You know, people will point to Ovechkin's empty net goal scoring record. That is a record. He's got 65 empty netters. And, you know, people say, well, you know, Gretzky didn't have that many empty netters. Well, one of the reasons, and I was reading this yesterday, is that Gretzky wasn't necessarily on the ice as much at the end of games for empty netters. Now, what was also written was that Ovechkin, for the first part of his career, wasn't necessarily on the ice a lot as well. Ovechkin was not known for his defensive prowess early in his career, but he has become a much more complete player. I hope to God he doesn't break the record on an empty netter. It would certainly seem to be not the way you'd want to do it. I wonder if he gets to the tying number, if Spencer Carberry would pull him from the ice in an empty net situation. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea what the answer is. And maybe hockey fans and maybe players, nobody would care if it came on an empty netter. Has there been any conversation about that, Denton? Do you know?
Not that I have seen necessarily, but I would be in agreement with you. I don't want this record. If he ties it on an empty netter, fine, but I don't want him to break it on an empty netter.
Yeah, I think the preference, I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, if you want, at Kevin Sheehan DC, Maybe hockey fans don't care how it happens. You know, one of the reasons I would surmise he's had 65 empty net goals in his career, a record, is because the Caps have had the lead in a lot of games that he's played in. You can't get an empty net goal if you don't have the lead at the end of a game, and they've had very good teams. Now, I guess it's also, you know, pretty obvious that any player with Alex Ovechkin on it and Sidney Crosby on it, because he's up there in empty netters as well, is going to, you know, be a team that is good more often than not, and obviously they have been. Here we go. I mean, this is now truly, you know, it could happen tonight. I don't think I felt that way about Carolina where he needed four, but now you're in the area of a hat trick does it. So it could happen tonight, and it will be one of those moments in sports that, you know, many people at various points in time thought this was a record that would never be broken. You know, that this was there with Wilt's 100 points. This is there with DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. This is there with, you know, Cal Ripken's, you know, games played streak. You know, people have thought that about this, but I think in recent years as it became clear that he certainly had a legitimate shot. I actually, in thinking about Wilt's 100-point game, it won't surprise me. I'm not predicting it. Like, I've predicted before that we're going to see a 70-yard field goal at some point. Like, I definitely think at some point we're going to see a field goal made from 70 or further. I think there's a chance somebody could certainly break, you know, score 100 points in a game. I feel like that's a possibility somewhere, you know, over the next few years. I mean, Kobe's 81 is the closest we've gotten. But, you know, then again, players with load management and then with big leads, I don't know. You'd almost probably need, you know, a multi-overtime game to kind of get there. Wilt also has the highest, you know, average points per season record of 50.4, which is crazy. He also has the highest minutes per game average in NBA history at 48.5. Think about that. The game is only 48 minutes. So he legitimately, like, never came out. And then the overtimes he played in ended up averaging over 48 minutes per game. I would say that 50.4 actually might be more unbreakable than 100 in a game. That would be my guess.
Yeah, that feels like it's much more difficult. Because at the very least, like, you will have somebody, I'm sure, in the, we'll say, medium future, not like distant, but not like next year, that's going to hit like 20 some odd threes in a game because they just spray and pray, right? So I feel like scoring 100 with 3-point line is a little bit easier than averaging 50 for the entire season. I don't even know when the last time someone averaged, you know, 33 points was in an NBA season, let alone 50.
What, didn't Durant average like 34 or 35 like 8, 9, 10 years ago? What's his best?
I don't know that he averaged 34.
The other record, by the way, in hockey, Gretzky's career points and career assists are considered to be records that would be very difficult to ever break. He's got 2,857 career points and 1,963 career assists. I've mentioned this before. You know, there are certain records that were era related. You know, it's probably, you know, it might be hard to, you know, break as an example. Well, this is the impossible one. You know, this is getting into the record books a little bit, but Paul Kraus holds the record for the most interceptions in NFL history with 81 interceptions. The only current player that is even in the top 125 in interceptions, career interceptions, is Harrison Smith in Minnesota with 37. That's an unbreakable record. Paul Kraus's career 81 interceptions will never be broken. The reason being, you don't see that many interceptions anymore. Back in the 60s and 70s when he played, quarterbacks threw 5, 6, 7 interceptions regularly. It's kind of amazing that it took forever in the NFL, even as the NFL became popular in the 70s into the 80s, for coaches to realize that turnover margin was a significant statistic. That throwing interceptions was deadly, but they overcame throwing interceptions. I've mentioned this before. If you ever go back to Pro Football Reference and you pull up a game from the 70s and you look at the game, you're like, oh my God, the Redskins won a game with 7 turnovers, 4 interceptions, 3 fumbles, and they got 8 back. You know, they were +1, even though they turned it over 7 times. But Paul Krause's 81 interceptions, that just isn't, no one's ever going to get close. The 37 is the closest of any current player right now, and he's 104th on the list. 104th interceptions of all time. You know, we've seen, you know, era-related yardage numbers, obviously, and passing touchdown numbers because of the way the game's played today versus the way it was played back then. By the way, that sort of dovetails with interceptions, although you'd think the more you put it up, the more chance there is for interception. But protecting the football became a much bigger deal as we got into the late 80s, mid-80s, and beyond. And also the West Coast offense had something to do with that as well. When teams really went to, you know, high percentage, lower risk, short passing games, that became part of it as well. Anyway, looking forward to watching tonight. What's the get-in price? How expensive are these tickets to get in tonight?
So,
you have any idea?
As of yesterday, it was $196, I think. I'm checking now to see how much, if at all, that has adjusted. It looks like they've gone down a little bit. So you can get in the door at, it looks like around $130, which isn't terrible. $118, actually.
Are there tickets available? Legitimate tickets available? Yeah, there. Of course there are. There always are.
I mean, there's 3% of tickets left, according to Vivid Seats.
Yeah, I'm seeing $134 is the low end to get in. I mean, upper right-hand corner of the arena. If you're down lower bowl, you're paying, it looks like the lowest is $300.
Right.
To get in. Should be exciting, and who knows? He may have no goals tonight, no goals on Sunday, and we'll be back here having the same conversation before their next game next Thursday. They do have, you know, the 2 games this tonight and then Sunday, and then they got time off before a game on Thursday night at home against Carolina. And the Caps, remember, are also battling for the President's Trophy, you know, if that's something they actually want. They're 3 points currently behind Winnipeg. Who won again. And like you said, because you're all over hockey these days, St. Louis and Dallas are rolling. But Dallas is right there with a chance. They're 1 point behind the Caps and 4 points behind Winnipeg. There's a real battle for the last wild card spot in the Eastern Conference between all these different teams. Montreal currently holds that spot. They would be the first round opponent for the Caps. But there is Montreal, the Rangers, Columbus, and even Detroit and the Islanders to a certain degree that still are mathematically alive for that last playoff spot. Remember, the Caps won the President's Trophy in 2010 and played Montreal in the first round. And
didn't go well.
Did not go well. 7th game, Halak. Everybody knows that.